Today, properties winners and losers. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, where this post covering finance and property news. Well, CoreLogic just released their annual Best of the Best report, and they say while at first glance the Australian housing market was surprisingly resilient through 2024, we can characterise it as having a stronger condition out of the gate at the start of the year, but slowing down over the course of the year. Home sales totaled around 528,000 nationally, up 8% from the previous year and 6% from the previous five-year average. In fact, home values have risen 5.5% over the past 12 months, and the combined value of Australian houses surpassed $11 trillion. So all is well. Well, not really. Into 2024, waning demand, rising levels of advertised supply, and a changed outlook for inflation and interest rates has seen the monthly change in the National CoreLogic Home Value Index slowing to just 0.1% in November. The higher for longer interest rate environment, plus compressed incomes and high household costs, are indeed hitting home, but not uniformly across the country. Growth conditions have remained highly diverse over the course of the year, with annual changes across the capitals ranging from down 2.3% in Melbourne to a 21% rise across Perth. But even in those individual markets, there are massive variations. The regional markets mirrored a similar diversity in results, ranging from a fall of 2.7% in regional Victoria home values to a 15.5% uplift in home values across regional Western Australia. However, even in high-growth markets of Adelaide, Brisbane and Perth, there are distinct signs of a cyclical slowdown, with the quarterly pace of gains easing over the year. Interestingly, the quarterly value decline across weaker capital city performers have shown some marginal signs of easing towards the end of 2024, they said, and this could signal some stabilisation of value in weaker markets through 25 and a narrowing of the range in capital growth over the next 12 months, but we'll see about that. Several factors have weighed on the number of buyers in the market. National accounts data showed that the household savings rate, while rising to 3.2% in the December quarter, remains well below the decade average of 7.5%. While some households may be saving less because of high housing values, growth in the price of non-discretionary goods and services over the December may also be making it harder for home buyers to save for a deposit or to cover upfront transaction costs. Housing affordability continues to deteriorate. In September 24, with the latest report from ANZ and CoreLogic showing that the median dwelling value has climbed to, wait for it, 8 times the median household income. Remember, 3 decades ago, it was between 2 and 3 times. This is up from 7.6% a year ago and matched a series high from early 2022. The relatively high cash rate setting, which did not move through 2024, is also weighing on the amount of new housing credit demanded. While overall housing credit growth has been surprisingly resilient in 24, the ABS lending stats suggest new lending commitments for housing softened in September, and the RBA recently noted housing credit has declined as a share of disposable income. Through the rate hiking cycle, it is possible prospective buyers have used higher deposits to partially offset higher interest costs and may also have targeted lower value housing markets to demonstrate an appropriate level of serviceability to their lender and to minimise housing debt. Through the year to November, the bottom quartile of national market values rose 10.3%, far outperforming the middle of the market and the upper quartile of home values, where stretched affordability may have constrained further growth. This trend was consistent across most housing markets over the course of the year. And this trend towards faster growth in more affordable markets was reflected in the best of the best results for the capital cities in 2024. The top growth house markets were all located in Perth, and half of the suburbs had a median house value below $661,000, which is the 25th percentile house value nationally. Top growth unit markets were located across Perth, Brisbane and Adelaide, and each of the top 10 had a median value below $600,000. Actually, units vastly outperformed houses this year and are on track to dominate in 2025 as demand for affordable homes continues to go higher amid high interest rates and surging values for freestanding homes. This year's top 10 best performing unit markets racked up between a 40 and 53% capital gain, while the house markets with the sharpest increases rose between 24% and 38%. Unit values in this year's fastest rising suburb, Dolphin Heads, in the Mackay region, surged by 52.8% in the past 12 months to November. By comparison, the country's best performing house market, Beachlands, in the Geraldton region of Western Australia, climbed by a mere 38.4%. CoreLogic's head of research, Eliza Owen, said growth momentum for apartment values would carry through next year as poor affordability continues to constrain many home buyers. While borrowing capacity may improve slightly if rates come down next year, affordability is still a big obstacle for many buyers, she said. There's still an extraordinary premium on house prices in some cities, particularly Sydney, which is sitting at around 70%. So I think we'll continue to see demand being diverted to units. I think 2025 could be another good year for units where they could outpace house price growth, she said. Apartment growth has outperformed houses in many capitals, particularly in Brisbane, where house prices are now close to $1 million on average. Brisbane's top-performing house markets, such as Leichhardt, Brisbane City and One Mile, gained 23% on average. By comparison, unit prices rose by around 42% on average across Logan Lea and Waterford West. Zoran Solano, buyer agent at Hot Property Buyers Agency in Brisbane, said buyers were becoming price sensitive and were more willing to look at units than houses. Brisbane is no longer the cheap market it once was, so rather than spending several millions on a large Queenslander, more people are now buying units or townhouses, which are easier on their budgets, he said. In Melbourne, unit values in top-performing markets such as Parkville, Carlton and Sydenham climbed between 7 and 10% in the past year. But by contrast, house prices in the city's fastest rising suburbs, such as Batavia and Beaconsfield and Piercedale, increased by just 5% at the most. Scott Kuru, co-founder of Freedom Property Investors, said the affordable end of the market will attract more demand once rates were cut. You're going to see even more competition for properties at the affordable end of the market as more potential buyers qualify for home loans, so expect strong price growth in the lower quartile to continue, not fizzle out, he said. Property research analyst Terry Ryder of Hot Spotting said the unit sector had reached a turning point in terms of demand. We've been tracking this segment for at least 18 months, and we're seeing what could be the biggest paradigm shift in real estate in the last 10 years or so, he said. Apartments obviously don't have a lot of land content, but they are outperforming on price growth purely through the weight of demand, and this demand is rising fast. So the old paradigm that the land content growth, capital growth, I think people are going to have a rethink on that. Apartments are much cheaper and therefore yields are higher, but investors are worried about capital growth. But once they realize that's no longer true, I think we're going to see more investors targeting units. Just don't mention the poor quality of construction and the very high charges for servicing apartments thanks to higher strata fees. Bellevue Hill held onto its pole position as the country's most exclusive suburb at $9.9 million for a median house price, followed by Vaucluse at $8.65 million, Rose Bay at $6.42 million, and Dover Heights at $6.25 million. Cheap if you can afford it. Unlike last year, when house prices in most expensive suburbs climbed by as much as 24% in 12 months, this year values tumbled by up to 8%. For units, Point Piper took the top spot, with the median sitting at $3.11 million, followed by Darling Point, Millers Point, and Barangaroo at $2.2 million. Mossman continued to attract wealthy buyers who spent $1.65 billion snapping up 238 houses for $5.58 million apiece on average. Ouch. Unit buyers also targeted Surface Paradise, splurging $1.2 billion on 1,467 apartments worth $768,908 apiece on average. And Central Melbourne units also pulled in strong demand, with 1,347 apartments selling for $466,155 apiece on average for a total of $782 million. An 8-bedroom, 6-bathroom mansion at Woosley Road Point Piper in Sydney's East was the most expensive sale this year at a shocking $51.5 million. Houses in Noosa Heads notch up the highest increase in rent at 23.7%, while houses in Collinsville delivered 12.6% gross rental yields, the highest in the country. Of course, we know that many others are actually in negative territory. Norseman in outback Western Australia had the cheapest house at just $80,289 on average, while units were the most affordable in Lagwanda Keys in regional Queensland at $142,687 median price. Melbourne dominated the list of the worst performing house and unit markets, underscoring the city's weak showing this year. House prices in Chelsea, Doncaster, Dromanda, and Bond Beach slumped between 9 and 10.2%, while unit values in Sunshine, Frankston, South, Carnegie, and Caulfield South dropped by as much as 13.8%. Sydney's suburbs Zetland and Cronulla were among the weakest housing markets in the country, with values dropping by 9.7% and 8.5% respectively. And that's the point, really, because the truth is values are all over the shop at the moment, with a likelihood of further falls in some areas unless or until we see significant rate cuts. But given what we saw yesterday reflected in the lower unemployment rate, that's not going to be any time soon. And of course, averages mask, and this is why I come back to going granular. You need to look locally at the individual properties in individual areas to understand what is really going on. And the other factor in all of this, of course, is affordability. And we are seeing more and more people pumping more than half of their income into their mortgage or their rent just to find somewhere to live. And that's the broader context for this discussion about booming house prices. The truth is that whilst there were some markets with very strong movements up, there was a considerable easing through the year, and more markets where, in fact, now capital gains are evaporating. So I think 2025 will be a really interesting year. It's all down to what the RBA does, but of course the RBA probably won't cut anytime soon. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. May thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.